Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Crimelanders. Thank you so much for tuning in again today. You have such a special episode ahead because we have the one and only Ali Fox, Ali underscore Fox underscore, and Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and all the rest. Absolutely love Ali. She is a comedian, an actress, so ridiculously talented, and I just really feel like 2023 is going to be such a big year for her because she has so much going on and people are just loving her stuff. So do go and follow her if you're not already. Ali underscore Fox underscore, and she is just a deadly, deadly person, and I'm really excited for all the future holds for her because she is just the best. She's great. So Ali is brilliant. The story is a really interesting one as well. The usual disclaimer that we do discuss some themes here which some listeners may find distressing, so do just bear that in mind when you're listening to the episode. But we do always strive to discuss these topics in a human and empathetic way. I have started a Patreon as well. My goal is to get to 100 patrons. I'm currently at 18. Ouch. But I have only just started it, so I am fully sure we're going to grow our little community of Crimelanders. The main reason that I started the Patreon was because I explained, I think, in an earlier episode that I have actually been paying for the production costs and the studio costs, and also giving the guests a little bit of money just to thank them for giving their time. And it has meant that I have kind of been paying for the podcast out of my own pocket, which I guess isn't, obviously it's great, you know, the numbers are good and I'm getting lovely messages from people, but you know, ultimately I do have to cover the cost of it as well. So that is why I have to start a Patreon. I hope that's okay. If you could support for the price of $3.50 a month, you get at least one extra episode, even though it's looking at two extra episodes at least a month now, because they have a second one coming out this weekend on the disappearance of Shelley Miskovich, which is a really interesting one. And Shelley is the wife of David Miskovich, who is essentially the COB chairman of board in Scientology. She hasn't been seen for many, many years, and it's a really interesting story. So that is the extra episode coming out this weekend. And I also have another couple of episodes that I'm going to whack up as well. So for $3.50 a month, you can get all the extra episodes. You also get early access to the regular episode. You get that on a Tuesday rather than a Friday. And I would really appreciate your support. So only another 82 patrons to go till I hit my goal. We can do it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And without further ado, here's your episode. Enjoy.
Welcome to
Crimeland. My name is Julie J, and this week I'm talking to the brilliant
Ali Fox
about the Gruber family. Ali, I'm so excited to have you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Delighted to be here.
And I was saying to Fred on my way in that I was having you on, and he was just saying you're absolutely brilliant and fantastic and all the rest.
Oh, Julie, it takes one to know one, doesn't it?
Oh, stop it! Doesn't it, though? But honestly, Ali, you are absolutely brilliant. We're going to be plugging all your stuff at the end. Will I dive right in?
Please do. Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, so, right, Ali. Let me take you back to the 4th of April, 1922. So a young man by the name of Lorenz Schlittenbauer. I should have asked you this, by the way. Did you do German or French in school? What was your language?
Neither. Espanol.
No way.
Yeah, my school did not offer German to the kids.
Interesting.
I might have chosen it.
Spanish is a good one, though.
It is. And it did help me in South America then when I growed up.
Were you traveling around South America?
Yeah, family living in Brazil.
No,
now, obviously,
Ali,
they're Portuguese speaking, but when you're traveling around, you can get by great with the Spanish.
Amazing. So, your family in Brazil?
Yeah.
And tell me, so you, would you've gone to Brazil and other countries in South America, or just specifically Brazil?
No, I've gone loads of places in South America.
Hit me.
My favourite, Paraguay and Argentina.
Oh.
Beautiful. Yeah, and such a mix there as well. It's a paradise.
I've heard Buenos Aires is gorge.
Yeah, yeah. And then down further into the jungle, down at Foz de Iguazu, some of the biggest waterfalls in the world. Oh my God, Julie, they're amazing.
Do you know what now? I should have investigated your backstory more, because I did, now it hasn't come out yet, but I did an episode a couple of weeks ago and it was based on the Galapagos Islands. Were you there?
No, but that is a dream of mine. You know, some of the turtles.
Well, let's
there
make
like
this dream happen, Ali.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say my experience of South America was limited. I went to Colombia back in the day.
Wow.
No, but it was kind of pre. I mean, people did go there, but it was kind of a long time ago. But I remember I went, and I suppose everything's a learning curve. I was going with a mate of mine who said, "Do you mind if I bring two people I work with?"
Oh.
And I was like, "Okay, the more the merrier." But I think that's not necessarily the case when you're traveling, because we just, from the get-go, there was just something we didn't gel as a group, and there was nothing wrong with the girls, it's just we didn't gel as a group. But we went to Colombia, that was the first on our hit list. We were going to hit Paraguay, we were going to hit Brazil, all the spots, and then we were in Colombia for a week and we got robbed 3 times in 1 week.
You are joking.
And you know what they say, rob me once, shame on you. Rob me twice, shame on me. Rob me 3 times, it's time to
get
go home to your mam.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Wow, Julie, that's very serious.
Well, I think, to be honest, Era, do you know what? I didn't even blame them really, because there was a lot of us going off the tourist trail.
Well, I mean, you should be allowed to do that as well.
Okay, yeah, I know. And it was funny, actually, because one of the girls, I've no idea why, insisted on taking her passport with her. And
that is thick. So she's listening.
Yeah.
You're a thick.
Come on. So she, and I remember saying, I don't know if you need your passport. She's like, no, I'll keep it in my L fanny pack. You know, we have such confidence in the fanny packs. Nothing's getting in there.
Yeah, you have to be so careful, particularly in South America. Like, I've had some mad experiences where, even in a taxi that you've ordered through an app, you're in it and it approaches a red light and you're not stopping at that red light.
Oh, as in just speeding through.
Well, white people, this is a generalisation. I've experienced in my own personal life a bit of backlash seeing, you know, being a white person walking around. You have to be so careful, so no red lights.
But also, I suppose, I don't know, I guess, you know, it's like, we're going around with our iPhones or whatever, just screaming, advertising wealth, aren't we?
It's disgusting, yeah. And people are, you know, really struggling in many parts of South America, and we should be more copped onto that, I think, as we travel, you know.
Do you know what now? I have to say, the group chat has absolutely nothing on us. Like, we are the new, current affairs podcast. This is what's happening. I will say, the girl who had her passport robbed, it was very funny, because then we were like, what are we going to do? Because we need to get a passport, and there was no Irish embassy.
Of
course. What do you do, Ali? What do you do when there's no Irish embassy? Who do we
You go to England.
You go to the British Embassy. Yeah, all you have is to. Forgiven. Mm. And it was so funny. We rocked up. We were having our Punjana tea. They were so nice to us. They were like, we're so sorry this happened to you. And this was quite early in the day. And then by like 6 or 7 o'clock, they were like, you are from Northern Ireland. We were like, Domina Domana. Like, come on.
Julie, it's so funny when it comes to needing a passport from the British Embassy or the ASOS next day delivery.
Oh, stop.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll read. Really change my mind.
That ASOS next day delivery.
Osta, I know.
I know.
It's a terrible way to be, but I do get very flexible in those.
When I need that jumpsuit, I need that jumpsuit. Is all I'm saying. And like honestly, when you're in that situation, Rob, three times in 1 week, seeing that Union Jack, it was just like feels like home to me. Feels like home.
I hope you didn't sing that
in
at
all
them.
Our Irish teacher glory. Because we were all moving to our Gaelgas. We were downplaying that one, I tell you.
I bet you were, but I'm so glad that you got sorted because that's a scary thing. Like three times in 1 week, that could have put you off travel for life.
What happened then was I went to the Hamptons straight after because an ex-boyfriend at the time, his sister was living in the Hamptons.
Oh.
So you know the way you don't want to come home with the tail between your legs because you've done the big farewell for the summer. Like I was supposed to be gone for 3 months, didn't want to come home after 7 days.
After
being robbed three times. So I went to the Hamptons and honestly, such a culture shock, like what you were describing there. So went from Columbia to the Hamptons, got off, I think, is it the Jitney? Did you ever do a J1?
And,
you
know, I never did. Couldn't afford it. Oh, like the Greyhound coaches that they talk about in films.
Just like the movies. Got off the bus and I went to the ATM and Alec Baldwin was in front of me in the queue. So you're going from being robbed three times in 1 week in Colombia to basically
getting your heart stolen by Alec.
Being mates with Alec Baldwin.
Oh my God, he's so handsome and great.
He is, but then he does kill people on set, so I just feel the attraction.
And he has like 8 kids.
I know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, they just keep having kids. Alec looks wrecked.
Yeah, I'd say their house is utter chaos.
I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not saying this is why, but I just think when you have that many kids, is it any wonder you're forgetting to check a gun?
Come on. How did that happen? Is the responsibility on the actor? He probably doesn't know that much about these prop guns. Or was it real? No, it was a prop.
But it was a real gun, I thought, was it? I don't know.
Did I hear that it was a decommissioned something or other? Surely it falls on the prop.
Okay, Ali's been doing a deep dive into this story.
I actually haven't. That's why I'm so ignorant. I did see on Twitter that there was some like, oh, was there some sort of motive here? Of course there wasn't. They were probably great friends. But I know about decommissioned firearms because of a play that I did a few years ago, The Roaring Banshees, where there was a lot of talk about what weapons could and couldn't be used. And in the end, we had very, very fake firearms, but they had to be kept in a safe in the theatre. No one was allowed to mess with them. It got put into my hand just before I would go on.
Oh, wow.
And then it was reefed off me at the end because you have to be so careful.
And when you say decommissioned, what is that? What does that mean?
That it no longer serves a purpose in the real world and can be used in art departments or prop departments, that kind of thing. But it happens a lot. But I actually don't remember what type of gun that was that Alec Baldwin had.
And they're quite heavy guns, aren't they?
Yeah. And really expensive. I remember we had an intern.
Okay, Ali's been trying to buy a gun.
No. I just remember this intern from Canada saying, we got one at 10K. And I was like, what?
10K for a gun?
I thought like 100 euro max.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know, because how would I know? But yeah.
10K.
And they just kept it in the glove box while they were traveling around as a family. Mash. Yeah.
But what did a gun really be that expensive?
According to her, yeah.
And crazy.
it was the done thing like that you might need. And she was like, not really, you know, to defend against people, more like bears. And I was like, oh yeah, Jesus, bears.
Of course.
They were from Canada. And she was like, yeah, you'd need to be able to get out of a sticky situation. Mad.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
A gun in your glove box. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking what's in my glove box at the moment and thinking a half-eaten sandwich.
Some baby wipes. Yeah, a bit of Vaseline.
Nothing to actually ward off a bear. I need to have a chat with myself.
Just have to turn the radio
up. I'm never prepared, Ali.
Neither am I, but here we are anyway.
What were you saying? If I just turn the radio up, maybe the whole way up.
Maybe.
Lyric FM.
Something like that would absolutely wreck a bear's head, I'd say.
Oh, I love a bit of lyric. It does calm me down. Too. Yeah. It really does. Okay, right. What was I banging on about? Oh, yes, Crimeland. Okay, right, back to Crimeland. Okay, so this guy called Lorenz Schlittbad, on the 4th of April 1922, he noticed that his neighbour's post hadn't been picked up at their farm in rural Hinterkaifeck, perfect pronunciation, just so you know, in Germany. Worried that something was wrong at the farm, Lorenz got his fellow neighbours, Jacob Segal, probably related to Steve-O.
Definitely.
And Michael Pohl to help him investigate. The farm at Hinterkaifeck was built around 1863 and home to the Gruber family. Andreas and Cecilia Gruber were the parents. Victoria was the adult daughter, and the granddaughter was also called Cecilia, and Joseph was the little grandson. At the time in Germany, there was a lot of political, social, economic unrest, as, of course, Germany were punished severely for their role in the war by being constricted politically and militarily and forced to pay reparations for the role they played in the conflict. In 1918, the Kaiser Wilhelm was forced to abdicate, and shortly after, the Weimar Republic was formed. Unemployment was high. Many were deeply unhappy with the terms of the Treaty of Versailles, which a lot of Germans saw as excessively punitive. So there was a lot of shit going on, Ali, is what we're saying.
Sad times in Germany.
Sad times in Germany, yes. Times were tough. So finding the door to the home of the Grubers locked, this guy Lorenz and the other two neighbours headed to the barn, where they made a very grim discovery, Ali. Are you ready?
Oh, go on.
Okay. So the bodies of Victoria, age 35, her little daughter, Cecilia, who was 7, Victoria's parents, Andreas and Cecilia, who were both, so Cecilia was 72, Andreas was a little bit younger, he was 64. They were all found dead. So they discovered these bodies in the barn, and the family had all been murdered by multiple blows to the head.
Oh,
so bludgeoned to death. Yeah, just absolutely horrific. So they made this discovery in the barn, and obviously terrible discovery, deeply disturbing. Mm. So they say to themselves, okay, we need to get into the house now, because there was little Joseph who had not been accounted for, and there was also a maid called Maria. So they went into the house, they forced their way into the house, and in there they found the 44-year-old maid Maria and the little boy Joseph, and they had both been killed also. So
no.
In other words, this is just complete decimation.
Oh no, I thought you were going to say they hadn't a clue and they were going about business as
no,
usual.
No, Ali, that's kind of not how Crimeland works, I'm
you're
afraid.
Right.
So you know poor old Fred comes on every now and again. He says, is that it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what? Just opening with death. Yes, multiple
yeah.
deaths.
Oh,
so
God.
Just absolutely horrendous, like a horrendous scene. So the entire family has been slaughtered at this rural farm. Although the murders at the Gruber farm weren't discovered until the 4th of April, police determined that the family had all died on the evening of the 31st of March, which was a Friday.
Uh-oh.
In a strange twist, the 31st of March, so this Friday, had actually been Maria's first day working as the family's maid. So Maria Baumgartner was the name of the maid. Maria's sister had actually called in just to see how her sister was getting on that very day. And her sister later confirmed that everyone was alive when she visited Maria at the farm that afternoon. So on the 31st of March, everyone was alive and well when this sister called to the house. But just very unfortunate that obviously Maria had just started working there when this happened.
Oh, God.
Really awful, yeah.
Yeah.
The following day, on the 1st of April, two men who sold coffee came to the farm, but nobody answered the door. So this, of course, would have been very unusual because there was a lot of people living here.
They knocked at the door, working farm,
all of that. Nobody there. And this kind of is even more weird. So even though nobody answered the door, they both said that smoke was coming from the chimney, and it did appear that somebody had fed the farm's livestock that very day. So it appeared that fresh food had been given to the animals. The fire was obviously on, so they did think this was a little bit strange that nobody came to the door, but obviously they didn't go into the barn or anything like that. The following day, on the 2nd of April, a man came to do repairs on the farm, but again, nobody answered the door. On the next day, on the Sunday, the family weren't seen at church, and little Cecilia didn't turn up for school on the Monday. And that's when, of course, people started to really say to themselves,
yeah,
what is going on here? And that's when Lorenz and the neighbours went to investigate. So just absolutely mad that this would happen in a rural area.
And it's not that long ago.
Well, I mean, I suppose 100 it is
years.
100 years.
Not
I guess it's
long.
All relative.
Yeah, that's shocking. I wonder, were they really struggling? Like, did that time in Germany, like, just drive them into, like, a very dark place?
Well, there was certainly a lot of dark shit going on. And this family, I should say as well, like, you know, there are very dark aspects to this family as well, which we're going to get into.
Oh.
But you'd be right in saying there's a lot of bad stuff going on here for sure. So the closest police department to this farm was, to this farm in Hinterfick was Munich in Germany, which was about 45 miles away. So after discovering the bodies, Lorenz and the other men obviously ran to tell their families and fellow neighbours about the gruesome murder scene, as you would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to go straight home and say you won't believe what's happening over at the farm. The problem was, of course, that when the families and friends heard about this, they all piled in to get a go. So, of course, by the time the lead investigator, George Rheingruber, arrived from Munich, dozens of people had walked through the crime scene, destroying evidence and compromising the police investigation in the process.
Idiots.
I mean, complete idiots. But also, I guess, even if they hadn't done that, I mean, I don't know how good forensics would have been anyway in 1922, because that was way before CSI.
Fair enough. Yeah, but they were probably kicking loads of straw and hay around the place and covering up footprints.
Footprints would have been a big one. Yeah, for sure.
I can imagine they probably thought it might be helpful to take the bodies and try and fix them
probably,
up a bit.
Yeah. Not ideal.
Not ideal, for sure.
So basically, the police obviously had a big challenge on their hands. They posited that the killer, or perhaps killers, maybe there was more than one, had lured the family members out to the barn. That was their theory, that they had been lured out and killed there. And they thought maybe they had done this like one by one. But they really just didn't have a clue like what had happened here at all. On the 5th of April, so obviously the next day, Dr. Johann Baptist Amuller conducted autopsies on the victims of these murders. So the family, he did an autopsy on the family, but again, I don't know how precise would this autopsy have been. However, he did determine that they had all died by blunt force trauma, was what he said. And he suggested he felt that maybe a pickaxe had been used, that was the weapon of choice. So like, really, we're talking House of Horrors stuff here.
Yeah.
Like, really, really bad. Dr. Mueller also noted that there was strangulation marks on the older Cecilia. So the grandmother of little Cecilia and Joseph, and mother to Victoria. And he felt that suggested the killer might have had a particular or perhaps personal vendetta against the matriarch in the house. So her death was a little bit different, and he felt it was a little bit more vicious in that there was strangulation involved, and he felt maybe there was like a personal vendetta here.
I would think the opposite.
Really?
I think a pickaxe is way more vicious
personal. Than... What's more personal? A pickaxe maybe?
Yeah, because this is very gross now, but to strangle a person, you need to face them for quicker results. To me, that's demonic. It's all demonic.
Yeah.
But a pickaxe, you can do the job from behind.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ali, that's a really interesting theory.
Maybe he knew her. Oh, well, no, if he knew her, then he would have known all of them.
Well, you see, because they're thinking, like, obviously this is like, you know, all of these types of crimes are utterly vicious, but this is just a particular horrifying crime. So I think they're thinking there has to be some personal motive here to go off and do this. Like, there would have to be, surely.
Yeah, because you're not going to do that. And also, let's face it, it would take ages. So
I mean,
it's going to be planned out. And
well, this is the thing. I mean, and I think this is one of the aspects of this that people get really creeped out by, because exactly that, it wasn't like, we're not talking like a moment of madness. It was kind of a protracted thing.
Yeah, I'd say that would have taken all day. He was probably exhausted. I say he. I think it was a man.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Listen, I think we can all assume it was a guy. Yeah. For sure. This is when people get in touch with me and say that's very gendered. But I think that's, you know, that's the
vibe.
Well,
my imagination went there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and listen, you know, I think that is definitely the vibe for sure. So in the months and weeks leading up to the killings, a number of strange events had occurred on the Gruber farm. So 6 months earlier, the family's previous maid had quit very suddenly when she said she was constantly hearing, wait for this, Ali, footsteps in the attic.
Okay, game over.
Yeah, game over.
I have chills.
I mean, which made her believe the house was haunted.
Yep.
Neighbours also told police that Andreas had found footprints in the snow that began at the woods surrounding the farm and ended at the barn. So they didn't continue on to the house, they just stopped at the barn. However, he could find no footprints leading away from the barn, Ali.
Oh, no, I hate this. Also, snow in March. That's spooky. Yeah. On its own.
I mean, it is, Jeff. Well, I guess it is Bavaria, though.
Oh, it's probably quite high up. Maybe.
I always imagine Bavaria covered in snow. I'm sure it's not always covered in snow, but that's just the image I have of my
God,
mind.
God, that's very, very gruesome.
Isn't that really, really creepy?
Yeah. So either they have...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Had someone wanted lodger in the barn? Or it was haunted and the thing was in the attic and the barn.
I mean, either way, just not ideal.
Not ideal. I wouldn't work there. I wouldn't live there.
No, I just think, like, you'd definitely be quitting for sure. I mean, I've definitely... What's the one? It's not P45. What's the one where you get fired, you get your P45, isn't it?
You get your P45 either way.
Either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Note to self, need to go back through my 17 previous careers. I used to be devil. I used to work places and just go on, like, so many places around Dublin. I'd just be scurrying down streets because I'd work in a place and then I just would go on the lash and not turn up to work and I'd post my uniform back. I just was
Are
too...
Are you serious?
I'm that much of a coward, Ali. I couldn't even face these people. Like, sometimes I'd lose a week's wages. I'm like, I just can't even go in there.
Sometimes it's better to do it that way, isn't it?
Do you remember La Croissanterie? Do you remember that? It was back in the noughties. It was like a croissant shop.
Oh, got in town.
It was in Liffey Valley. And I remember I went on the lash in Sligo. And it was so funny. I shouldn't say it was so funny, but they anyway kept ringing me because I was supposed to turn up. But I was
Liffey
in
Valley
Sligo
is
on the lash.
Away from Sligo.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a trek. But I think they reported me missing to the guards and stuff. It became this whole thing. But I had just gone on the lash.
You are so funny. That should be an episode of
And
Crime
I
Land.
Just, I had to post the uniform back to them.
What was the uniform?
It was like a red, I think it was just like a little red shirt or whatever. I don't know. It was something.
Sounds hot.
I mean, it was hot. It was very hot. But like, yeah. So sometimes, so forget footsteps in the attic. I've definitely quit over it. Would you have been a quitter? A perennial job quitter like myself?
No. Though I did spin a web of lies so intricate. You know, if you're going to lie, you have to make it good.
Me to go big. Go big or go home.
Exactly, yeah. Or what's the point? So I spun a huge one in my very early 20s to get out of a place and it really worked.
What was the lie?
The lie was, oh God, now when I think of it, still my stomach drops, but it did work. I hated this place. And now as an older woman, when I look back and I say this very sincerely, I was being abused. Like it was proper, it was a horrible work environment, and I didn't really have the coping skills to deal with it at all. So I spun this lie that I was emigrating to America to follow my dream. They knew that I was studying acting, and like, oh yeah, that checks out. She's going to America. God love her. She's never going to make it. She's leaving. And I didn't at all. And I tried to apply for the dole, and then they contacted the employer saying, what was Ali's reason for leaving? And they said, emigrating, wishing her all the best. They didn't mean it though, they were bastards.
And was it admin work, waitressing?
It was hosting, waitressing. Oh. And the social got in touch with me then saying, what the fuck is this about? And I was like, listen, I was being bullied. And they said, no problem. You can have the scratcher. That's what they said.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I got it for like 6 months or something before I got another job where I was treated very well.
It's nice to hear that they were kind of receptive to that.
Yeah, it was a woman. I remember like the deciding officer, and I was like, listen, this is what happened. I did have an intention to emigrate, like we all do,
of
like
course.
For 5 minutes, like crying your eyes out on a wet Sunday.
When I'm waiting for the bus, I'm like, do you know what? Maybe I will go to Hollywood. So it's not a complete lie.
It's not. Like it did exist in my head for a minute. It still does. And the deciding officer said, yeah, that's okay. You probably went about it the wrong way, but here's whatever it was. I think it was 102 euro.
What other way can you go about it?
I could have looked them dead in the eye and said, this is ridiculous and I want to speak to HR, you know. But when you're so young and you don't really know, and I was already bet down so much.
I would still find that hard to do in a professional environment. I find it really hard to be assertive.
I don't anymore, but
I
understand. I did a complete 180, but it takes years and it takes a lot of practice to really set boundaries in place in a professional environment and in general as well.
Yeah.
But now, like, I'm very self-assured when it comes to any of that stuff.
But also I think it is so important. I mean, it's important for everyone, but I think particularly for women as well.
Yeah.
Like in the industry, I love that you're like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm kind of standing up for myself a bit now in situations.
Definitely. And it encourages other women as well. You know, do you want me to talk to the cross-on people?
Was going to say, do you know what? I want you to talk to Shane over here. My God, you won't. He works me to the bone. You won't believe this. Don't be put off
the
by his
smile
laugh.
Is really off-putting here. He's the guy
straight
in the attic.
I'm like, where's HR?
It's out by the bathroom.
Shane's like, I am HR. That's like, do you know, it's like, did you ever do this? Not that I ever did it, but I know friends who have, you know, if they're like on the road and some guy is, sorry, I shouldn't make, you know, we're not trying to be gendered here, but based on my anecdotal experience, it is always a male driver who's just been a dickhead on the road, like, you know, weaving in and out, playing chicken, like just, and I'd say at least one, if not two, of my friends have rang the number to complain. And your man's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's your man, the driver, to complain about the driver.
Well, not gas, but that's Grinch. The audacity of that. Like, is it ridiculous?
Yeah, but it is. I love that, Ali. That's like really positive. I love that. We need to have a chat after this. And I'm like, how do I get more boundaried in a professional environment? I'm going to do that. So listen, what I like about this maid was she was like, I'm not paid enough to put up with this shite. So she left. So Andreas was saying, look, about the footprints and stuff. And this led some people to think that, of course, the killer had hidden in the barn and maybe the attic, which some thought accounted for the footsteps the previous maid heard of, says you.
Yeah.
Andreas also mentioned his keys had gone missing. And this is a bit of an odd one. He found a newspaper he didn't subscribe to in the home. So it'd be like now if I came home and found the Star or something in the gaff. I'd be like, somebody's obviously been here.
Yeah.
That's a strange one, isn't it? It's a weird calling card.
Or could the maid have brought it into work with her?
A paper, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, perhaps. But women didn't read papers, Annie. Come on.
Actually, she probably didn't have the money to subscribe to a thing. God love her.
I know, the poor old
thing. It probably did belong to an intruder.
Well, but it's a funny thing to leave behind. You know, if you're going to the effort of hiding in the barn in the attic, to leave your paper on the kitchen table is a bit of a...
That is a bit thick.
It is a bit thick, yeah. Mm. It's not the swiftiest for sure. Now, an even more disturbing... So a neighbour had actually said to this guy, Andreas, listen, if you're having trouble, I can offer you a gun. And he turned it down. He said, no, I don't need a gun. But he had just been chatting about like this weird stuff happening. And he was like, you know, look, this is what's going on. But listen, Andreas, by all accounts, was not a great individual. Okay, so an even more disturbing aspect to the case. Now, of course, this, you know, this was just based on, well, not even necessarily rumors, because there was kind of a bit of a legal foundation to this as well. There were suggestions of something really untoward going on in the house. So 7 years before, the residents of the Gruger farm were murdered. Victoria, who at the time would have been, I'm doing the math, so 35 minus 7, Ali.
Oh, God almighty.
Shane.
What is this?
35 minus 7?
28.
28. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
We got 28. There.
We got there. So, Victoria at the time was 28. Andreas, her dad, would have been approximately 55. Not that that's completely irrelevant to the situation, but Victoria and Andreas were both accused of incest after someone, yes, submitted an anonymous report. Now, they both vehemently denied this, but somebody had put a complaint in. It was an anonymous complaint that there was an incestuous relationship happening between the daughter and the dad. And both the father and daughter were put on trial and eventually found guilty. Now, they both denied it, but they were both found guilty. Now, I don't know what, you know, this, it's all just very strange. I don't know what the procedural aspect of it was, or, you know, what evidence was produced or whatever. But Andreas served 1 year in prison and Victoria served either 1 year or one more month, according to different reports, which is crazy to think Victoria would be going to prison as well. I mean, it's nuts.
That is nuts, unless she had bore children.
Well, this is the thing. So obviously now this is the years before like paternity tests and all the rest. So some people believed that Victoria's 2-year-old son, Joseph, was the child of Lorenz, who was the guy who came to check out what was going on at the family farm. And some of the neighbours said that the child actually was the child of Andreas, the dad.
Yeah.
I.e. that he had had a baby with his own daughter. But like, it is very hard to substantiate this because this is based on rumors, etc. They had denied the incestuous relationship. Mm-hmm. They were found guilty of it, but again, I don't know, like from an evidentiary point of view, like, you know, 1915, I'm not sure what the process would be there. But certainly, like, you could say there's no smoke without fire in that this was a rumor that did persist for a long time. So people are kind of split. The one thing as well with Joseph, little Joseph, was that Lorenz, according to rumours, Lorenz and Victoria had a romantic relationship. Mm. And Joseph was allegedly Lorenz's son. So a lot of people actually claimed that Lorenz would often refer to Joseph as mein Buberl, meaning my boy. Mm. So he would often refer to this little fella as my boy, my son. So people kind of presumed that he was his father.
Yeah, he probably did think it was his kid.
Well, listen, I mean, that exactly. He probably did believe that for sure. But who's to say if he was?
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, it's the whole thing is kind of mad.
And they're so isolated in that area as well. It's probably not that uncommon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I remember, God, I remember back in the day, I don't know, was my mother or someone saying it to me, but they said it so casual. Was it my mother or my auntie? Maybe my auntie. But I remember her saying back in the day that she believes one thing that really ended incestuous relationships was central heating. She has this theory that incest
that
really was just for keeping
amazing.
Warm. Yeah. But she wasn't even saying it as in like, it was just so like, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, I'll have tea. You know what I was just thinking? I really think the whole incest thing really died once we got central heating.
Julie, now, I want to laugh at
but
that.
But maybe she was right.
I'd say she was.
My
that,
God.
That breaks my heart.
I'd
but
say
she's
it was
probably
70%
right.
of the reason I got married to Fred was just like, oh my, even last night, like my feet. Is this circulation, Annie? My feet are like ice blocks all the time. Like, this can't be
I would
be
get
healthy.
That on the tips of my fingers and yes. the tips of my nose as well.
What is,
the one tip of my nose, yeah. The tips kind of my nose.
Noses. But is that circulation?
I'd say so for sure, yeah. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I actually have the heating off a lot of the time now because I know I can't afford it.
I'm just living in fear at the moment.
It's so shit.
Fred Cook needs to get the memo that there's a recession on the radio because he's whacking the heat on all the time. I'm like, Fred,
I know,
like,
and
I'm
I can't
living
blame.
In fear. Well, yeah. Anyway, so what I do is I just put my feet in between, like, you know, I'm using Fred as a little thermal thingy or whatever. Yeah. So look, I think there could be some credence to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and like the advent of TVs in the home acted as a contraceptive then
as
well.
Oh, for sure. Sure, yeah. What else were you doing?
I know, sitting around slagging each other.
And you know what? I do feel bad because I live in a rural area right now and I'm absolutely not saying it would happen in this day and age, but I do think as well the isolation and all that... I don't know. I think bad stuff happens.
Definitely, Julie. Like, obviously we don't condone it, but you can see that being a thing. Like, if they're so far away from Munich, what did you say? Like 45 miles?
Yeah. Bit of trash. And I just think, I mean, it's funny because I find now, and I've definitely gotten used to living in the middle of nowhere. We're in quite an isolated place at the moment. But I'm still much more terrified being in a rural area than an urban area.
I could see why. I think I'd be the same.
I just feel some bad stuff can go down in a rural area. Whereas at least I always feel in an urban area, okay, there's a lot of people and stuff, but I always feel like there's more people who could do bad shit, but there's also more people around.
That's it, exactly. Yeah.
I feel a bit safer.
Definitely. Like if you ran into any sort of trouble in a rural area, like I can see why it's always a thing in horror films for
the
most part.
So what we're saying is country people do incest, is what we're saying. No.
Well, it happened everywhere. But yes, in this case, I think they were all driven mad because of the isolation.
I think there was something going on. And I suppose, and I'm not putting it on, like we're not looking at the macro here, but I guess there was a lot of just dark shit happening as well.
Yeah.
And who's to say like what was going on then on a micro level? Like,
definitely. I mean, the reparations alone during that time would have been screwing them. And maybe their farm was losing loads of money.
And I was only have you watched Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, not all. All of
us. We just started watching and I was saying to Fred, you know, even the way like you see people are so like fucked up from the war. And I was like, God, is it any wonder the black and tans came over and they were complete psychos?
They
were all demented.
It's all PTSD and sure nobody knew what it was.
That's it, PTSD.
Yeah. And the waking nightmares and, you know, those men, well, we all went through a lot during the, as if me and you were there, but they were so screwed.
You and I, Annie, in the trenches.
Yeah, I remember
us.
You. You had trench boot on your little cold feet.
I was going to say, it's no wonder our feet are still like ice blocks, Annie.
I know. I have eczema from the war. Put that into
Peaky
Blinders.
Your little nose. I remember your nose was so cold.
Just one little icicle.
Me.
I know. Awful.
But honestly, yes. So basically people are going to get tweeting this podcast is coming out in defence of the black and tans and saying country people
and Alec
are riding
Baldwin
their brothers
is a
and
bit
sisters.
Screwy.
And Alec, ? So yeah, look, there was something going on for sure. Over the course of the investigation and reinvestigations into these murders, the police suspected over 100 people of potentially being the killer or killers. In the end, like, so they kind of said the person obviously with most motive was probably Lorenz, because Lorenz was the person that a lot of people said, like, he was always referring to this little guy as my boy. He felt he was his dad. But of course, rumors also suspected that Andreas was actually Joseph's dad, so Victoria's own father. And Lorenz allegedly went so far as to put forward another complaint of incest, but recanted this complaint when Victoria asked him not to persist with it. So he had told people that he was suspicious of what was going on between the father and Victoria, and Victoria asked him to drop it. So again, that kind of points to someone who would have a very big issue with this family if he did feel he'd been duped or whatever in terms of the paternity of little Joseph. Part of the tension at the farm stemmed from its ownership. So interestingly, Victoria, the daughter, not Andreas, her dad, owned the farm. So she had actually inherited this farm through marriage. She gained ownership after her husband, Carl Gabriel was his name. He had died in World War One. Some had alleged that Carl had known. So Carl was ostensibly Cecilia's dad.
Yes.
So the little daughter who was called after the granny, obviously. So some had alleged that Carl had felt that Cecilia was actually Andreas's daughter. So in other words, that Victoria had had the little girl with her dad also, which was why he went to live with his parents for several months before going off to war.
Oh.
So they'd actually been separated before he had gone to war, which would have been very unusual at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you know, look, it's the, you would question, there's a lot of rumors swirling, and you would maybe say there's no smoke without fire, but also, you know, it's hard to substantiate it.
But Carl was the true owner of that farm.
Yes.
So to pack your bags and leave your own land.
It's extreme. That's very true, actually.
Especially during that economic downfall, you know, during that time. That's mad.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been. So like the fact that they would have separated and stuff would have been unusual. So there was definitely something going on.
Oh no, that's after changing the game.
Do you think so?
She was definitely banging her dad.
Oh,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Ali, stop.
She was.
God.
I can't get over the fact that he would leave and he would know about the onset of World War One. He would probably have a good idea in his head that he's going to get drafted in. So to leave ahead of schedule, that's quite a thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not great.
Oh,
it's definitely
God.
Not great.
Sickener.
So it is like, it is kind of bad. So essentially, like, Victoria was the real owner and her parents were just kind of on the farm. As far as Carl's death was concerned, his body, so he went off to war and never came back, but was presumed dead. His body was never found, leaving some to speculate that he was the one who returned to the farm and actually murdered the whole family in revenge.
Okay.
I mean, it's a bit out there.
Yeah. It's possible, I suppose. I'd kind of lean more towards Carl than Lorenz.
Would you? Okay.
Because Lorenz wasn't married to Victoria,
no.
So he's not going to inherit the farm
no.
or anything. Did he kill himself?
That's very clever.
No, he didn't.
No, no, no.
Okay, so he just ended all the family's lives. Or every member of the family.
Well, they didn't find any other body there.
At all.
No, no, no. So it was just the bodies of the family.
And then,
so Lorenz is basically doing his thing. He's, you know, he's the one who finds the bodies with the neighbours.
Yeah.
Now he would have, I guess, because he had this personal connection as well to little Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he would have been knocking up to the farm anyway.
Yeah.
So you could say, well, it's a bit suspicious that he was the one who discovered the bodies with the two neighbours. But also, I guess he was checking in on the child as
well. And it is 5 days later or whatever.
It's a few days later, yeah, to be fair. And but the thing about Cara was that there had been reports. But again, you know, this is a time when how do you substantiate all this? But there were many reports at the time that Carl had actually been seen during World War II wearing a Soviet Union military uniform.
What is Carl doing?
I don't know. But like, I think that's a bit out there. That apparently people were saying that he had kind of defected to the Soviet Union and all that kind of crack, which I feel is a step too far.
So do I. I don't think he's going to. He wouldn't.
Oh, sorry. World War One, that he was seen during World War One wearing a Soviet Union.
I was going to say, because he'd be an outfit at that point.
What are you doing, Carl? You're a geriatric.
You should be at home watching Pointless. My God.
He should have been. So, okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
But
still,
also,
I don't
why
believe
would
it.
He? Like, it doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And again, like, you know, I don't know. Like, look, it's quite likely you'd see someone who kind of looked like her wearing a Soviet Union military uniform and you kind of run with it.
Exactly. And who was it that thinks they saw?
Exactly. A lot of questions. So despite speculation, authorities have never confirmed any of these theories. In 1999, an elderly woman, there's always one, contacted the authorities.
Go on, what did she say?
I'm going to wait till it's 1999. So she kind of took the Prince song to heart and said, I'm going to wait until 1999 to get in touch with the police. Classic owl behaviour. Claiming her former landlord admitted to having information about the killings, they investigated this tip and learned that the landlord supposedly made this claim in 1935. I mean, you'd kind of waited a bit too long at that stage, love.
Yeah.
So it was obviously too late because, hello, the potential suspect was no longer alive.
Yeah.
So she gave a name, the named person was dead, so they couldn't do much with that. And in 2007, more than 80 years after the Gruber family and their maid were killed, students at the Furstenfeld Bullock Police Academy used modern techniques to investigate the unsolved case. The students ruled out all but one suspect they believe committed the murders at the Gruber farm. So they are fairly sure that it was this person who killed the Grubers. But really frustratingly, for those of us who are into this type of thing, not to make it all about us, Ali, like we would like to know.
I am dying to know.
But they won't release the name because the suspected killer is dead. So they did not publicly name the person and they have vowed to never name the person because they believe that it would just be disrespectful to the suspect's living relatives and the victim's memory.
Do you know
but
where
we
want to
know,
went,
Ali. We want to know.
It's the maid that left.
Oh, maybe. The sister.
Yeah, the one that had been there like the week before or whatever.
Never thought of that, Ali.
Maybe. Although, come on, if the person is dead, just say who it is, unless they're a person of note.
I know. I don't know, maybe it's a German police thing. They're really into protecting the honour of these suspects when they die. I don't know, but like, I feel like 100 years has passed. I mean, it's like when I make jokes about the famine and some people in the audience are like, I'm like, oh, is it still too soon? I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It has to reach, like, it's been 100 years, Ali.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I wonder, was it just not interesting enough and they just didn't want to release it? That's going to annoy me now.
But also, it's like, it's not like, Ali, like if I found out you're a great, 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 well, okay, maybe what, three greats grandfather. Okay, so if you're a great, great, great grandfather had committed these murders, would I judge you first?
You'd probably make an episode about it, but I don't think...
Oh, for sure.
You would. I don't think you would. I don't think so.
You're not against you. So no. That's what I don't understand.
That is a bit odd. I mean, they're going to have to say something eventually because I think we should go after the movie rights immediately as soon as we finish up here today.
For sure.
I think that would be a class
film.
Well,
that's why I asked you in. You're a Hollywood baby.
Imagine, I left that job to go to Hollywood. Did you not know?
I could totally see you in Hollywood though, because you're so special.
Oh my God, Julie, stop it.
But honestly, will we go? Come on,
I think we should.
We'll
warm up
away.
Our feet there.
Oh, I think our poor trench feet.
Oh, Santa Monica Boulevard.
What's
come on.
That thing you get? It's a trench foot. Yeah. Is the thing you get.
Mm.
Yeah, I think our trench feet. Come on, we served, Ali. We served.
We did. We need a bit of vitamin D and a little prance around Hollywood. I love it.
Ali, it's been such a pleasure. If we're looking for you, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, follow me online and not on the street because I've had problems with that before.
And it's Ali Fox, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Nice and simple. And then you have a very exciting festive gig coming up.
Yes, I do. I'm delighted to be on the bill with Shane Daniel Byrne and Peter McGann and Aine Gallagher and Killian Sunderman at Shane and Peter's Christmas party in Liberty Hall on Saturday the 3rd of December. Tickets are on sale now.
And that's like an amazing lineup. That'd be good. I do really like Shane and Peter, but Killian, I wouldn't trust him.
You could throw him.
No, eats a lot of meat. Big meat eater. Big meat eater.
Actually, where was he when this murder
happened? I'm just saying. No, we absolutely love Killian. We had him on and he's great. We adore him. Shane and Peter's on a name. They're all great.
They're all brilliant. And there's tons of other people on the bill as well. So get clicking, see who the special guests are.
Ali, it's been an absolute pleasure. You. Thanks so much for coming.
I had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.